Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
All right, so we've talked a lot about the Texans and this offense in particular. Unfortunately, a lot of it's negative. When you're 0-2 and you lose in the fashion that you've lost, there's not a whole lot of positive to pull from it, if we're being completely honest. But offensively, this offense, I think it's fair to say, is stagnant, and it's lacking the ability to produce, particularly in the pass game. Now, the run game was a little bit more productive this past week. Leaves a lot on the table. Obviously, leaves a lot to be desired in the run game as well. But right now, it's the production out of the skill players, particularly in the pass game. And I'm a guy. I like to talk about solutions rather than problems. I like to talk about solutions rather than problems.
I like that about.
If I were a boss, if I owned a business, I would ask my employees to bring me solutions, not problems. Got plenty of those. Don't come to me with a problem unless you got a solution. So I think there's we need more production out of the skill players offensively. If you don't know what skill players are, it's anybody that can catch the football. It's an eligible receiver, tight end, running back, any kind of wide receiver, fullback, anybody that has the ability to legally catch a football in a game. That is your skilled players on offense. And right now, the Texans, I believe, there's one way that they can help themselves, and that is flat out. Put the best players on the field. Put the best. Week one, the narrative afterwards that we talked about, show, was the players that you have on the field that give you the best chance to produce. How about getting them the ball, right? Instead of Rex Burkhead, how about Damian Pierce?
It's really about the 69. Right?
Instead of Rex Burkhead and Chris Conley having more targets than Nico Collins and Brevin Jordan, how about we get the young athletic players that can go make plays or at least give them the opportunity to prove they can go make plays? How about we target them more often? That was the narrative then, right? Week two, we watch another abysmal performance by the offense. Now the narrative is, what do you do from here to create offense? And I think one thing you can do before they ever hit the field on Sunday, show, is they can play their best players. They can make their best players available offensively to Pep Hamilton and to Davis Mills. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Philip Dorsett, and I'm talking about Tyler Johnson, the receiver they picked up that was most recently with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You must have been ate up with Philip Dorsett.
It baffles me. He was inactive, and Chris Conley and Chris Moore, for that matter, are both active.
Not just benched and chosen by the coaching staff to play Conley over him. They didn't even give themselves.
He wasn't even in the plan.
He wasn't even in the plan.
And so here's the thing: is I believe that you've got to get your best players on the field offensively. Now we know that obviously Brevin Jordan is banged up with an ankle. Sounded like today from Lovie Smith's perspective that there's a good chance he's not going to be with him during the game. I'm going out.
That's because he was just talking about. You know, we got a lot of depth at that position.
Yeah.
Going a little too much.
Yeah, he started talking about other options there. But with that said, I think Jordan Akins and Farrell Brown and O.J. Howard are guys that position's in really good hands. I think they're going to be okay there. But I believe, based off of what I've seen, that Philip Dorsett is your third best option on this offense from a wide receiver perspective. Hell, I'll be honest with you. I think he's your second best option if you game plan around him. I mean, I think Brandon.
Over Nico?
Absolutely. Brandon Cooks. Man. Brandon really? Cooks is number one, no question about it. Nico Collins right now is number two. And I'm telling you, Philip Dorsett is definitely number three.
I think Philip should be on the damn field over.
Yeah, I'm not saying he should be on the field.
Conley I'll listen, and I can even listen to you on Chris Moore. I'm not ready to put him.
Well, that's a whole. Okay, that's not even. That's not. They're probably two different positions. They're not going to be the same. They're not going to be the same receiver anyway. I'll argue he's made a better catch than Nico's ever made in the NFL at this point in time in the small sample size that he's been on the field. But nonetheless, he should be on this roster, active and making plays for this football team, right? I like Chris Moore, man. I like Chris Moore. He's a good player. He's a good role player. He's got good chemistry with Davis Mills, the quarterback. Would you say he's 22 of 23 or something like that?
Yeah,
I think he actually dropped one. I think they missed each other last week, which made it actually a second miss. But when he's targeted by Davis Mills, he typically catches a football. The problem is we're talking about 23 targets over 19. Well, he didn't play in every game last year, did he?
No.
In a good chunk of games. So he's not. We're not talking about a guy that's getting 10 or 12 targets per game here. We're talking about a role player. I believe Philip Dorsett should be on the football field. I believe Philip Dorsett is a true playmaker, not a role player. I think you look at Tyler Johnson. Tyler Johnson's a guy that right now, show if he were in Tampa Bay, he would be on the field playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now.
Yeah, I mean, you maybe they're just waiting for him to get acclimated to the system first.
OJ Howard got acclimated in less than 9 days.
All right.
9 days. 9 days, man. I mean, I hear because that is what Lovey said.
That's what Lovey tried to say. When he's ready.
No. Here's the deal. When he's ready, and we're gonna prolong that because we like Chris Moore and Chris Conley on the football field. Look, I'm not knocking either one of those guys. I'm just simply telling you there's guys that are inactive on this football team that have, I believe, a better playmaking ability than those two guys, and they're either buried on the depth chart or they're inactive. That can't happen.
Yeah.
That's got to – right now, I believe Philip Dorsett gives you speed to take the top off the defense, and we've seen him in his preseason legitimately get behind safeties. We've seen him in his preseason legitimately catch big time balls and take big-time shots. I believe the speed allows you to take the top off the defense as good or better than anybody else out there. I believe he gives you there is a twitch that's a level of twitch that's there with him. Where in the screen game, he would be much more effective than a guy like Chris Moore, much more effective than a guy like Chris Conley. He catches the ball when it's thrown his direction, so you're not going to lose anything from a perspective of sure hands and a player that's as good or better from a hands perspective as Chris Moore or Chris Conley. I think those two guys, or let's say this, one of those two guys, don't care who it is, one of those two guys needs to be on the field given the opportunity to go make plays for this offense.
And the part that I hate, especially because it seems like Chris Conley is on the field because of the veteran aspect of it. Well, Philip Dorsett's a veteran too. Philip Dorsett's almost 30 years old. Philip Dorsett, I remember, caught a touchdown pass in the AFC Championship game. He's played with Tom Brady. He's played in the Super Bowl. Like, he has been here and been there and done that. He is clearly more productive than Chris Conley. They cannot sell me on what Chris Conley is providing for them.
They shouldn't try based off of what we've seen.
They keep trying with making him inactive,
yeah,
and running him on the field two or three plays a game and then realizing, uh-oh, yeah, we can't do anything with him.
Yeah. I think
the veteran thing. Phillip's a veteran too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, look. Bottom line is this offense is stagnant, and they got to figure out a way to make plays. And I'm just telling you, once Sunday gets here, it's all about Pep Hamilton and Davis Mills and the guys that are on the field performing. There's one move that they can make, or two moves if they so choose, that they can make that I believe makes this offense more explosive. I don't want to use the word explosive too freely here because I wouldn't categorize any of it as explosive. But I do believe that it becomes much more explosive, much more dangerous with a Tyler Johnson, Philip Dorsett, Nico Collins, Brandon Cooks than the way you're currently filling out an active roster on Sunday. I mean, at some point in time, the good old boys, I mean, this is the equivalent to having a veteran tailback that everybody knows is more athletic than Rex Burkhead on the team, but you keep riding with Rex Burkhead.
No, right? It is.
I mean, it's the same thing. And I like Rex. I'm on record of saying I understand there's a role for Rex.
It's like if they kept doing what they did in week one with Damian Pierce.
Right.
They just kept.
Right. I mean, these are guys that you know can make plays. They've gone out and made plays in the preseason. If there were a back sitting there that you saw go out and make plays and it's been a veteran on a different team and made plays during the regular season and done things on the big stage and he's just sitting back there riding the pine and he's inactive and Rex Burkhead is the guy that you keep riding with and he's not touching the ball, he's not producing, then at some point, you know, we're going to have a conversation about it. This is the same thing. Same thing with Chris Conley right now on this roster with Philip Dorsett. And Tyler Johnson at some point sitting on the inactive roster. We'll see. The bottom line is the Texans offense is stagnant, needs production, and they've got a couple of moves they can make. Let's see if they make those moves. Blue 80, easy, white 90. Real quick, Tyler, are we going to make a bet this weekend or what? I don't want to keep putting you on the spot.
Let's lock it in.
Okay.
Are you going to?
This weekend, big college football weekend. Depending on who you ask, I guess some folks will say it's not the schedule's not real sexy, but my Hogs play Tyler's Texas A&M Aggies.
Woo!
And I don't know what was that. What's he screaming at?
I was just giving you a little.
Oh, my bad. You got Florida, Tennessee. You got them Longhorns who are coming against Texas Tech. You got a big matchup out on the West Coast, Oregon, Washington State. You got some good ones here. As I scroll on down, can't get past that Arkansas Razorback Neck Texas A&M Aggie game that's slated 6 p.m. on ESPN in Arlington, AT&T Stadium. Tyler, man, we got a couple minutes here, man. What are you feeling, bub?
I think we go to Old Faithful here, man. I think you're a man who appreciates your tequila, sipping on a nice bottle of tequila.
That I do. May or may not have had me a couple too many last night.
Yeah, and I'm a man who appreciates sipping on a really nice bourbon whiskey.
Okay.
So I think we put a bottle of, I know you're a Class A Azul fan.
Yes, I am.
I will pick out a bottle of one of my favorite whiskeys for a similar price range, and I think that's what we lock in here.
Boom, done deal. Shake through the glass, bam, 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 bam. Why are you over there flapping your gums?
Just like the Texans offense.
What?
Boring. Same as last year.
Can't deny
that.
Oh,
same as last year.
It's the same.
See what happens? See what happens? Kansas wins one game. And this guy turns his nose up at Arkansas A&M.
This isn't about Kansas. It's about the bet.
It's about an arrogant Kansas fan.
It's impossible to be an arrogant
Kansas
fan.
No, one of them came at me based on you. You stirred the pot. One of them old Kansas fans came at me. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's ease up here, bub.
I was hoping a nice cowboy hat or a pair of cowboy boots on the line just to shake it up. I'm just saying something different.
I could use a good hat.
I'm just saying something different.
We've shook on something, and I like where your head's at. I appreciate the input, Tyler, and I will roundtable it, and we'll discuss. We'll find out. But you have it. I want everybody out there, Hogs, Aggies this weekend. For all my non-Aggies out there, we'll take you on the hog wagon for a week, and we'll all gang up on Tyler and see if I can get me another glass of tequila. What do you say? So I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I don't know what the hell this world's coming to, man. I try to not, you know, I kind of bite my tongue on a lot of things in the world today. A lot of it's very hard to digest, hard to understand. I don't know if y'all have seen this, but there's a damn TikTok challenge out there that's encouraging people to cook chicken in NyQuil. Literally, in a skillet, two chicken breasts, pour NyQuil all over it, and cook it.
Purple drank.
And these young cats are out there. What generation would that be? What generation would that be?
Gen Z? Yeah, the Gen Z.
I mean, they're out there cooking. They're calling it Sleepy Chicken. Now, creative on the name, and it is whatever color NyQuil you pour in it. I saw the one I watched was a blue Sleepy Chicken.
What can you do it with DayQuil too, or are they just going NyQuil?
They're just going NyQuil, you know. And by the way, I mean, Seth Payne is – this may be the best – I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to say maybe. It is. It is Seth Payne's best tweet I've ever seen, for the record. He retweeted the report of NyQuil chicken and kids cooking their chicken in NyQuil. He retweeted it and said, "That's some lean meat."
Some lean chicken, baby.
That's such a great tweet.
Lean meat. That may be the best. great tweet. But what the hell is going on here? I mean, it's so serious, show. It's so serious right now.
I mean, who thought of it? And it's becoming a thing. I saw it, and I walked away from it. I wasn't going to.
Show, it's not becoming a thing. The FDA has issued a warning. The FDA has issued a warning. And here's why. Because when you cook it, obviously, you fools, the steam is you breathe it in, so it's causing problems in people's lungs. Because when you, apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently when you boil medication and it gets in the air and you can sniff it, it is significantly more powerful than if you take it and it gets in your bloodstream via the way it's supposed to, right?
Orally.
Not to mention you're having to put 10 doses on 2 chicken breasts in order to cook it. So you're sitting there, they're sitting there breathing in NyQuil, airborne NyQuil, getting it in their lungs, and it's causing problems. What the hell's going on in this world, man? I mean, they're damn fools,
man.
Have
you watched people eat it? Have you
watched? I have not seen anybody eat it, but I've watched the TikToks where they're doing it, where they're cooking it, yes. I've not seen anybody eat it. No,
good,
I haven't.
Man, that's just a waste. A waste of chicken.
What is this world coming to,
and
man?
And a waste of medicine.
What is this world coming to, bro?
There's so many other great marinating
things. What were them dumbasses? What were these
do?
Dumbasses eating not too long ago? They were eating something on social.
And what happens? It's become a huge thing, and that's even wilder.
They should hold people accountable. It was what it was. They were eating the Tide Pods.
Yeah,
they were eating soap.
Tide Pod.
Those are good.
No, I mean, what are we doing here? They should hold whoever the first TikTok influencer is that puts this stupid stuff out there. They should hold them accountable.
Accountable how?
I don't know exactly what you want to do to them. What do you mean? You mean to write the letter
to
the law?
I'm just saying. You said a man about solutions. They
should hold them accountable. Yeah. If it's bad enough, yeah.
Yeah, put them in jail. All right, I hear you.
Get the criminals off the street and in jail.
No, that's just stupid as hell. I know my damn kids better not ever be doing nothing like that. Now you got to lock up the NyQuil. Good God almighty.
Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
Or the Robitussin. That's what we had in our house.
At Tussin?
Robitussin. That was used for everything. All right.
Eat some of that Tussin.
All right. Then I got a little different flavors coming out of there. All right.
Sleepy chicken. What is
the lineup is out, and the two-hole hitter is the same. Any concerns? Yeah, you're feeling about Pena. Maybe he's coming on. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Pena drives one deep to left center field, all the way back. That ball's gone. Three-run bomb. Jeremy Pena, number three, puts three on the board. It's 4-0 Astros.
We went to the big boy part of this ballpark out here. 404-foot bomb. Jeremy Pena.
That's right. Jeremy Pena coming on. He struggled in the second half. I mean, that's clear.
That's a fact, absolutely.
But 2-for-4 last night, a 3-run homer. He's hit better in that 2 spot. And the Astros have played. I've seen people send this to me a lot. The Astros are 30-5 with Pena in the 2 spot. We've seen that a lot. He has played. He's hit better, although he has still fallen off a cliff. I mean, he's hit 250 right now. An on-base percentage under 300 was something you definitely don't want in the 2 spot. But I do believe, to me, Jeremy Pena has a real shot to be much better of a player in the postseason than he has been, even any part of the regular season. Like, I do have confidence in him for some reason. And what he has shown, he does not appear to have the big moment to be that he's not able to go on and produce in. So I do think next month.
La Tormenta.
That's right. I think next month he will be, I don't know, fine. I just got a really good feeling about Jeremy Pena coming on when the postseason happens. As I said, he struggled in that 2 spot. The one thing I got to stop doing is I got to stop looking at Carlos Correa every night. That's what I've got to stop doing.
That's why I feel
sexy. There was a point in time, Clint, where...
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I just keep thinking of myself of what it would be like if he were in that 2 spot. That's what I've been thinking. Because this is the time of the year where Carlos Correa, that was really going to hit you. And there was a point in time where we kept seeing, oh, man, look at Pena, man. His numbers are right there. He's worth... Don't go check them numbers here lately. Don't go check them numbers here lately. I mean,
if you don't know the facts,
Pena is.
You gotta show the.
Carlos is approaching 290 here. he got him 2 more hits yesterday. His on base percentage is one of the best in the game. We already know him defensively. 21 homers in a non hitter friendly ballpark. I mean, he's coming on, but. Within that, I do still feel confident about Jeremy Pena when the postseason comes that he will elevate his play. Just seems like he's that type of player.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know what's going to end up happening, Show, and I choose not to compare his numbers to Carlos Correa at any point in time, good, bad, or indifferent. But there's something about Jeremy Pena. I said this day one. To me, I was more worried about him going. His first few, the first run of games in the big leagues. At that moment, you can really gauge a guy like, okay, is he overwhelmed? Is the moment too big? Is he ready for this? And to me, he absolutely owned that moment. And again, I know the numbers were really impressive early on, and so it was easy to fall in love with Jeremy Pena, but I'm just looking at, in the moment, offensively and defensively, this guy, there's something about the vibe he puts off, again, in the field and at the plate, that he's mature beyond his years. And I don't know what the hell his numbers are going to be. I don't know if he's going to bat in the 2 hole or the eighth hole. I have no idea where he's going to bat. But at the end of the day, I feel like wherever it's at, we're going to get the best of Jeremy Pena. I don't think he's going to shrink because of the playoffs.
I don't either.
I just don't get that vibe. Now, he may struggle because that cutter, that low outside That low and outside cutter that's breaking away from him is really giving him fits. There's no question about that. But he's gonna be aggressive as hell at the plate. I think he's gonna give people fits for a young player in this league that's unproven. I got confidence in Jeremy Peña.
He feels like to me in the postseason that he's sitting up there in that two spot, and he may be like 0-3, 0-4 in a game. Yep. But then you're in the eighth inning, and Altuve has gotten himself on with a double or some sort, and it's two outs, and he comes up with a really big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what he feels like to me. Who knows? Maybe he just goes the hell off in the postseason. But that's what it feels like to me. It doesn't feel like when he walks up in a moment, you're like, oh God, please no, God, nobody else. I think I just his numbers to me I kind of throw out in big moments, and that's something to watch for. We'll see what he continues, but like we said, man, being between Altuve and Alvarez,
he ought to see some pitches now.
I mean, he did. He should see some pitches, and that's the other thing is when he sees pitches, he's probably going to see fastballs, and the one thing that he can do really well is turn on fastballs.
Yeah,
and hit them out of the ballpark just like he did. As Todd said there in that highlight, he hit it out of the big part of the ballpark. He's got big-time power, especially for a shortstop. So that'll be interesting to watch. Hopefully for the Astros, he gets going.
The big boy power.
That's what they said. Can I admit something to you?
I mean, sure, if you'd like. If you want to get something off your chest, I'm always here for you, bud.
Sunday is Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady.
Okay.
Bucks, Packers. I am in no way excited about that game.
What?
I cannot get. I am not amped about that game. I've never, like, whenever you say Brady Rodgers in a game together, for me, it's been like, okay, I don't care what else. I've watched those two teams, especially their offenses, through the first two games of the season, and they're not fun watches. They are not entertaining watches. They have their offense, and now Mike Evans is going to be out of this game. The Packers look like they're still struggling to get to it. These receivers, they're rolling through. This feels like more of a game of name than it is those two guys actually. I'm excited. I mean, there are other games like that Bills-Dolphins game. I am far more intrigued to watch that game, to see those guys rolling around. This is the least excited I've ever been in my life for a Brady Rodgers game.
Really?
Yeah, have you watched those? Have you watched them? They are not fun watches. Did you watch the Packers Sunday Night Football? That was, listen, Aaron, I love Aaron the player. He's one of the best we've ever seen. He's
fresh out of the punch of karma.
It is, but they are a tough watch.
Yeah.
Offensively, and Brady, we've seen them. They've been in big primetime games.
But how many more times are we going to get this matchup, man? You got to treasure it while it's here.
I get that part of it. But once you flip it on, like, it is not. I mean, it is not. Offenses have not been entertaining. I mean, to watch it. Oh, did you watch that Cowboys? But I know you did. That Cowboys-Bucks game, that was not a fun watch.
Yeah, it was not a fun watch.
Glory hole.
Yeah, there you go. That day it was not, Jerry. I can feel you on the Rodgers front, but I'm a big Rodgers fan. But just right now, that offense is a tough watch. I agree with you. But Brady, even when Brady doesn't have his dudes and when Brady's struggling, I don't know why. And I've never been a huge, like, this Brady. I'm not a Brady. I wouldn't say a Brady fan. Like, I'm not.
I enjoy watching his greatness.
That's it. Like, it's entertaining. Like, not just the play. The way in which he handled, like, I remember week one, he is just giving it to his center. I mean, ripping his ass up and down. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, they're having a cordial conversation on the sideline after they score a touchdown or after they make a good drive. I don't know. I just – the way that he manages – he's not – obviously not the same way Peyton Manning did. Peyton Manning was the OC and did everything. But the way that Tom Brady manages what goes on offensively, whether he's got all his dudes or not, for whatever reason, that is A-plus – football, sports,
I'm glad
entertainment
you brought up
for me, man.
I remember there was a point, like Peyton's last year, they played the Steelers, and it was Peyton versus old Ben.
Right.
I'm like, boy, this is
Like watching paint dry.
I used to be geared up for this thing, and this is not fun at all anymore. So I don't know, man. Maybe I'm alone in that.
I think your point's very valid. For whatever reason, just the football head in me, Aaron Rodgers, it's about the greatness, just the physical ability to do what the guy does. I think when there's something there when you watch Brady of just how the game from the pocket should be played. It's just something over and over. It's just so impressive and so entertaining to me. I don't know. You're talking about a guy that's very limited, other than his height, he's very limited and goes out there and just balls the freak out. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's entertaining.
Give me Dolphins, Bills.
Don't disagree. That's gonna be. There's some intrigue around that
one.
Give me
Rams, Cardinals. Those two matchups. I'm a little bit more. That's what Kyler did.
Yeah.
Sunday. I'm a little bit more intrigued by that. I mean, it's just I said, ooh man, Brady Rodgers didn't get that tingle that I normally get.
Right. You ain't wrong.
I didn't get that tingle. Sorry about that. I don't know about that. All right. we talked about answers. Wait till you hear what your quarterback Davis Mills had to say. And what he said made it so clear about what the Texans are trying to do offensively. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, stay tuned. Coming up later on in this segment, your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Battle of the Piney Woods. That's coming up as the Jacks versus the Cats get going. Sam Houston and Stephen F. Austin, your chance to win tickets for that coming up later on in this segment, so stay tuned. All right, a heavy hitter spoke today, including your quarterback, none other than Davis Mills. And Davis Mills, he was asked about the identity of the offense, right? He's asked about how would he describe it, and not just describe it, but describe it in a way in which they have to perform for them to be successful offensively. This is what Davis Mills had to say.
Ground and pound football team who's going to make the defense have to play the run, but then when they do, let's take some shots and move the football down the field.
All right. That reminds me of years past. That reminds me, hell, probably of an error that you played. Hit it to Emmett, and bam. Let's see if we can get Irvin down the field.
Yeah. Ground and pound football team.
I've seen that a lot here. Thurman Thomas, and bam, let me get it downfield sometime. Although that K-Gun offense, they were a little flashier too with Buffalo. But this reminds me of the 90s, of what they're saying. And it reminds me of Rex Grossman and Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson with the Bears when they went to the Super Bowl, ground and pound football team. Maybe let's see if we can hit Devin Hester down the field or somebody with a big play. And they got that all the way to the Super Bowl. That's the way they want to play. And hell, that was 2006 as well. By the way, I almost got arrested that night at my college apartment. What a fun night there.
Oh, damn. So
trying to break up a fight. But anyway.
Well, you tell us more about that now.
I will.
Thomas Jones and Chicago Bear offense.
I will in a bit. But they're trying to bring from 2006 to 1998 to 2000 when you played. They're trying to bring that back to today's game, right? And I can understand you can zig and you can zag, and the Ravens, they've done it a little bit and been successful offensively. But can you win in 2022 and beyond with that philosophy, ground and pound? That one's hard for me to understand.
Well, the problem with understanding it at this point in time, show, is that if we look at like the two teams that I think would be classified as ground and pound teams right now. Mm. I'm not talking about run heavy football teams, but I'm talking about ground and pound teams. I think the two that come to mind for me and probably most Texans fans right away is the Colts and the Titans. I think those two teams are legit. Let's get in a heavy formation and let's run the football between the tackles downhill. And those two teams hadn't fared too well lately, show. I mean, those two teams right there hadn't.
The number one thing that jumps out to me is they got a ceiling. They got a ceiling to what they can do. And that's when I hear that, and when I've watched them the last 2 years, you're like, that's what it is, because at some point, will they have enough stuff on the edge and on the perimeter to make when they are forced to have to do more than just run the football?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, can you straddle that line?
It's such a
can you
line.
Change can you change gears at the drop of a hat in the second quarter? That's a tall task, man.
And Tennessee almost did it. They almost did it in 2019. Right? They kicked the thing off, and they got a bad Patriots team where Tom held it on, and Derrick Henry, superhuman. Ran the football. Hell, I think Ryan only had to throw it 8 times.
Yeah.
Right? Their game plan worked to perfection. The next week, they did it against Baltimore. That was the second year for Lamar, and he threw interceptions, and they ran it again. I can remember Derrick Henry dragging people down the field. But then they couldn't do it the final time against Mahomes, and they took a lead in that game. And then the Chiefs got up, I think, 2 scores on them, and then it took them out of what they want to do, and it forced them to have to put the ball in Ryan Tannehill's hands, and that's where the ceiling hit. It is hard to hold down offenses around this league, especially the ones that are coming now. When you look at what Buffalo is doing,
yeah.
When you look at the Chargers, when you look at Baltimore, Miami, yep. It is hard to hold them down and play the game that you want to play.
Yeah, I just look at the teams that have been really good at it. Cleveland's in that bunch right now.
Yep.
Been really good at it. But there's times in a game where you just need your quarterback to do more. And when you spend 90% of your time, rightfully so, working on whatever your identity is, and 90% of your time your quarterback is working a certain style of ball, and then all of a sudden you get up against a team in a playoff scenario or late in the season versus a playoff caliber team that's got the ability to be super explosive and throw up 30, 40 points in a game, and things don't go your way, how do you fare then? Yeah. You know, that's the thing, is back in the day, the majority of the opponents you came up against were trying to do the same thing, believed in the same thing that you were doing. Rules were different to allow defenses to actually play defense, bang up your quarterback, get physical with your wide receivers. You can't do this stuff anymore. And so I think it could, I'm not going to say it can't work, Joe. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it won't work. I'm going to tell you that you got to be really, really good up front. You got to have a bell cow back. Like, I mean, we're talking about Tennessee's one. I mean, that's Derrick Henry. I mean, that's a generational talent.
Is Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then only done it once.
And Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I mean, you've got – so, I mean, I just think it's going to take –
what did they do? What did Cleveland feel like they had to go do?
Yeah, go get a quarterback.
They had to go get somebody that could make plays off of that.
Yep. So, you know, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and tell you that it can't work. I think it is – you're going to be one of a handful of teams that try to do it that way. And – as of late, we have not seen those particular teams make serious runs and be serious contenders in the playoffs. I'm trying to think what – I mean, I guess Tennessee 2 years, 3 years ago
they
went to the AFC
championship game.
And then just fell completely off. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the ground and pound. I just think, you know, the whole keep the game close and then win it in the fourth quarter. You got to be really damn good to do that.
You
got to be a surgeon. I mean, you got to be surgical in the fourth quarter with your offense. And I just,
and the game, Clint, is so different today as compared to when this was real prevalent in the 90s and even in the early 2000s. Clint, I mean, you just have quarterbacks and offenses that will just go off for a quarter and completely, I mean, and there's nothing, you can have a great defense, just go off.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched Buffalo have the number one defense in football last year. And in that playoff game against the Chiefs just went off for a quarter. And then it just took that.
Yep.
The only reason why they stayed in the game is because they had a crazy psycho on the other side and a great offense. And you just, like, you're just a holding it together. And then Justin Herbert just goes nuts.
Yeah. As a Texans fan, here's where I'm at with it, Show. I believe that Lovie Smith, his approach, the ground and pound, the physical up front, we're going to run the football, we're going to play good defense. I believe wholeheartedly believe that that can get the Texans out of a state of dysfunction. I think it can get the Texans back to being somewhat competitive again. I think that's a huge step in the right direction for the Texans.
Especially in this division. You can do that.
I think that's a huge step in the right direction for the Texans. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm more of a let's run the football, play good defense guy. I think it matters how you try to do it. I think it.
Because San Francisco does that.
San Francisco does it and gets really creative with it, and it's impressive. Green Bay has an impressive, you know, run game. You know, there's a handful of teams out there that are doing it in a pretty creative way. I would imagine by the end of September, midway through October, we're gonna be saying the same things about Mike McDaniel in Miami. I think there's the part that bothers me or concerns me about Houston right now is when he says ground and pound. I don't know why, but I look at it as we're going to pass up opportunities to put the offense on the field and go get points. That's the problem that I have with.
Because when I hear it, it sounds play to my defense.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, but look, I'm just the mindset. If I don't give a damn how you do it, you can be competitive running the football, predominantly playing good defense. But in this particular game, if you're so extreme conservative to there's 50 seconds left on the clock and you're not going to use your timeouts to give your offense a chance to maybe get in field goal range. Like, you can't pass up opportunities like that when the Pat Mahomes of the world, the Josh Allens of the world are waiting on you. And when you get in that situation, they're going to hammer timeouts and you're going to have to kick the football to them and they're going to drive down and score a touchdown or kick field goals. Like, you're not playing the same game.
No.
And so that's the level of the ground and pound, call it what you want. Ground and pound, whatever. Is that 60% run? 40% pass. Well, I don't know what that is. I'm more, it's the surroundings, the Rex Burkhead over Damian Pierce for three quarters. It's the not taking the advantage of the drive, the opportunity to have an offensive drive, you know, at the end of a half. Those are the things to me that I don't think you can win with. I just flat out don't believe you can win with that kind of approach. Can you generate and create a hell of a run game and play good defense and win ball games? Yeah. But boy, the rest of that stuff, I just don't know that you can. I don't know that you're gonna be able to compete with the offenses that take advantage of those opportunities, those situations.
Yeah, absolutely. When I hear the two things I hear, as I said before, the two things I hear: conservative and play to your defense. That's what I hear when I hear that ground and pound. All right, now is your chance. Now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Battle of the Piney Woods, Saturday, October 1st. Caller number 5, 713-572-4610. Caller number 5, your chance to win those tickets right now. Cats versus the Jacks, baby. Tickets and suites are on sale starting now at just $15. You can visit Ticketmaster or battleofthepineywoods.com to secure your seats today. That's Battle ofthepineywoods.com right now. Or you can be caller number 573-572-4610 and win those tickets right now. Once again, that is going to be October 1st at NRG, presented by HEB, Sam Houston, Stephen F. Austin. I'm sure Brandon Scott will be out there cheering on his Bearcats. So it'll be a good time. Tyler will take care of you as soon as you get on the horn. So right now, caller number 573-572-4610 to win those tickets to the Battle of the Piney Woods. Coming up, our Astros are back at it. They're on the mound with a guy, I believe, who has punched the ticket to be one of the starters in the rotation. We'll let you know what the lineup is tonight. All of that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.